You can just sit at his feet, drink from the cup in his hand, lay back against him and breathe. Amen. Hallelujah. I think John had a secret when he knew how to find the heartbeat of God. Amen. Hallelujah. John laid his head on his breast, could hear his heartbeat. Amen. Hallelujah. I think if we'd ever find the heartbeat of God, we wouldn't have to worry about a message or a doctrine. Amen. Hallelujah. Because the heartbeat of God's all about people. Amen. You are his heartbeat. You are his heartthrob. Amen. Do you believe that today? Hallelujah. Then when God wants to delight himself, he thinks all about you. Hallelujah. That's good news this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. We talked a little bit last Sunday about all the crazy things you do when you're in love. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Still. Thank you, honey. Still. We're still in love. Hallelujah. Still do crazy things. Amen. Now we got some amens out there. Here we go. Everybody's awake now. Hallelujah. I mean, no, you do some crazy things when you're in love. Things you don't give a whole lot of thought to maybe sometimes, but you just, it's all that's on your mind. Amen? Hallelujah. I want to be so in love with him that he's all that's on my mind. He would cause me to do crazy things I wouldn't think about otherwise, but for him, because I'm so much in love, I'll just do it anyway. Amen? Hallelujah. Amen. Awesome to be in his presence this morning and awesome to be in his house. Hallelujah. We've been talking about baptism for a while now and talking about the water. And I told somebody I was going to preach this morning on the power of water. I mean, water's got a whole lot of power. It has a whole lot of power. And I believe Jesus says some profound things concerning water and the power of water. How many know at the cross there were two things that flowed from the side of Jesus, blood and water. Hallelujah. How many know we were born by his blood and we were baptized by the water. Hallelujah. We were buried with him. We were crucified with him. We were buried with him and we were resurrected with him into new life. We need to know that today. Amen. Hallelujah. You are not the same old person that you used to be. That when he died, I died. When he was buried, I was buried. And when he was resurrected, I was resurrected. Mankind was resurrected. He made the proclamation. The man himself in red letters said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Hallelujah. That ought to give you comfort today. That ought to give you hope today. He said, I will draw all men unto me. How many know it's his place to do the drawing?
Absolutely.
To bring men unto himself. And I believe there is a drawing. I believe there is a wooing in the presence. He said, I will draw all men. Draw all men into where? Into himself, in the cross. He was talking about, he's not just talking about when we came here this morning, we lifted up the name of Jesus. The scripture says he said this concerning what death he would die on the cross. If I'll be lifted up on the cross, I'm going to draw every man, woman, and child unto myself. Hallelujah. I will draw all men unto me. Aren't you glad for that this morning? You were drew into him at the cross of Calvary. Hallelujah. We've been talking about baptism. We've been talking about water. We've been talking Wednesday night in our Wednesday night Bible study. We did a study on some of the waters and things like that. And it's hard in this setting to cover all of that stuff. But over there, we've been breaking it down just a little bit more. But I want to give you a little bit of that this morning and tie that into some things there. But how many know last Sunday we talked about the man at the pool of Siloam? That scripture starts out by saying, Lord, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Now, we understand the absurdity of that whole question, because if he was born blind, he had no time to sin. Amen? Other than under the fall of Adam, all were drawn into sin. But how many know in Christ, all were set free from that? Hallelujah. And so what Jesus does is go on to heal this man's blindness. But this portion of scripture, this chapter, is really not just about the man whose eyes need to be opened. He's talking to a religious system that are so blinded by their traditions, by their regulations, by their ways, that they can't see Jesus for looking at him. Amen. He goes on to say that you are the blindness here is the Pharisaical system that was so blinded. Hallelujah. How many know there are things worse than physical blindness? Hallelujah. And so he says to the man, he said he took some dust and he spit the very DNA of his mouth into the dust. Hallelujah. The very God. He said he was present with him in the very beginning when God created man and drew him up out of the dust of the earth and breathed in his nostrils, and man became a living soul. How many know eyes are nothing to Jesus? Hallelujah. Man is nothing to Jesus. He sees a creation that is blinded, and he takes the very dust of the earth and the very DNA of his mouth, and he makes a paste and puts it on his eyes. Can I say, if the DNA of God ever gets into you, if it ever really gets applied to your life, if it ever gets applied to your vision, you're going to see things a little bit different. Hallelujah. And he puts the clay on his eyes, and he says to him, I want you to go wash in the pool of Siloam. Hallelujah. And he sends him to the pool of Siloam to be washed. Now, I told you this last week that the pool of Siloam and the pool of Bethesda, both the water sources to those pools or to those waters were from the Gihon Spring. The Gihon Spring flows from a river called the Gihon River. And does anybody remember where the Gihon River flows from? Flows from the Garden of Eden. Hallelujah. How many know there is a river? Go ahead and bring me up the Psalms. I didn't give you the scriptures this morning, did you? Give me Psalms 46, 4 and 5. Hallelujah. How many know the water that he sends him to is not just your average, ordinary water? Hallelujah. He's sending him to the Gihon Spring, or to the Gihon, that the source of this water flows from the Gihon River. If you ever understand the flow of the temple, that was the waters that were under the temple at this time. It said the waters that were under the temple actually flowed in and formed the shape of a cross under the temple and flowed out of the most holy place. Hallelujah. It was water that even flowed down out of the brazen laver where the sacrifices were washed into the water. How many know it was a place for washing sacrifices? It was a place that flowed from the Garden of Eden. When he starts out asking this man, he says, who sinned? This man or his parents that he's born blind. Hallelujah. I mean, Jesus sends him to the Gihon Spring, sends him to the pool of Siloam. I mean, back before the man ever sinned in the Garden of Eden, there was a river. Yeah. Hallelujah. That flowed out of the midst of the tree of life that was in the middle of the garden. How many know if we ever find where the tree of life is, if we ever step into the river, hallelujah, if we ever allow the flow of God, the flow of life in our life to flow to us, how many know it takes us back to a place beyond, whether it was my sin, your sin, his sin, dad's sin, mom's sin, hallelujah, but it's a place where he said, neither one, he said, but the gifts of God might be made manifest. How many know this is more than about your sin today? Hallelujah. Thank God my sin was taken care of at Calvary, past, present, and future. When he died, the scripture says he paid in full for my sin. Therefore, I have an advocate with the Father, Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Who sits at the right hand of God and says, yeah, she messed up, but I already paid for that. I've already taken care of that. That's already been paid in full. Hallelujah. That's good news today. And he sends him to a pool of Siloam, a place that means sent. Hallelujah. How many know he had to understand him who was sent to him was standing before him? Hallelujah. It says, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of our God. Hallelujah. That river that he's talking about is the river out of Jerusalem. We talked about this water source that flows out of the tabernacle of in Jerusalem at the time. It says, there is a river, the streams whereof make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. It's one of the most incredible water sources ever engineered, ever constructed in that day and in that time, was the water source and the river that flowed out of the city of Jerusalem. Hallelujah. I mean, the scripture talks about there's a river that flows out of the throne of God and, out of the temple. And we're always looking at the book of Revelation and thinking that's a heavenly place. But can I tell you today, there is a river that flows out of this temple right here, that as we begin to leave this place, when we go home today, that river begins to flow out of this place and out of this temple and out of this house. And the scripture says, and wherever that river flows, it's going to bring life. Can I tell you, you are streams to a desert. You are a drink to the dry and thirsty today. Hallelujah. The scripture says, say to them that are of a fearful heart, fear not, be strong, for behold, Behold, your God will come. With vengeance, he will come. With a recompense, he will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind, what? Shall be opened. And the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb talk. For in the wilderness shall waters spring out and streams in the desert. Hallelujah. How many know you are those streams? You are those rivers that flow out of the city of God this morning. Hallelujah. And you flow from a tree of life. If we ever get the fact and the understanding that we flow from a tree of life, from the throne of God, from the paradise and the Eden of God, how many know eyes of blinded eyes are going to be open? Deaf ears are going to be unstopped. Lame feet are going to be able to walk again. Hallelujah. Not just physically, but spiritually. Hallelujah. And a water that causes life. Jesus talked about living water. How many know there's a difference in living water and stagnant water? Stagnant water doesn't cleanse itself. It's not a continual flowing water. It is a harnessed, controlled water source. Hallelujah. It's a cistern. It's a enclosed place, like a rain barrel. Hallelujah. How many know I'd rather drink out of a stream anytime than a rain barrel? Because it's stagnant, still water. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My father-in-law used to talk about when he was in the military in World War II, and they would collect rainwater down off of the roofs that would come down, and they had pellets or whatever they would put in the water, and it would sanitize the water, and they would actually drink that water out of there. He said, but they'd get to the bottom of that barrel sometimes and find out there was old shoes and all kinds of stuff would be down in the bottom of that barrel, but they would just throw these tablets in there and sanitize. I mean, that's not the kind of water I want to drink today. I want some living, flowing, fresh water that's alive. Hallelujah. No little mosquito larva at the bottom of it or any of those kind of things. No pestilence, no bugs, nothing like that. I want living water that's alive. Hallelujah. I'm going to go to John chapter 5 this morning, Carlin, probably about 1 through 16. If you have your Bibles, turn there with me. There was a couple things I want to point out about this portion of Scripture today. Hallelujah. John chapter 5. Hallelujah. We're going to go to the Pool of Bethesda. Last week we were at the Pool of Siloam. Today we're going to the Pool of Bethesda. Hallelujah. The Pool of Siloam, the Pool of Bethesda, and also the water pots that were at the wedding of the Canaan of Galilee were actually a type of a mikveh. What a mikveh is a Jewish washing vessel or washing place. It was used for a cleansing, a Jewish cleansing. And there were times that was required by the law that you had to go and wash yourself. Women had to wash in their purification cycles. They would have to go to wash. Men would have to go to wash at certain times. You would have to wash your hands before you would eat anything so that you would not be defiled by something that would be on your hands and things like that. I mean, no, their washings were continual over and over and over. They were a type or precedent of our baptisms that we do today. So that when Jesus goes to the wedding at the Cana of Galilee and he said, and they said that they have no wine. And he said, but we have 6 water pots here. But they are for the purification of the Jews. How many know they were the hand wash sink that was at the wedding? You purified yourself before you came into the wedding. You washed your hands so that you would not be defiled. It was a mikveh. It was a commandment of the Jewish law that you wash yourself and be cleansed. Pool of Siloam was also a mikveh, and so was the Pool of Bethesda. They were a type of a mikveh used for the purification of anything that would have defiled you. Hallelujah. Now, we don't have a mikveh. Well, we have a sink back there. Feel free to wash your hand anytime you want to. But you didn't have to do it before you came in here today to be clean to enter into the synagogue or to the temple. Amen. Hallelujah. But they were a type, they were for the cleansing of the Jews. So what Jesus does when he comes to the wedding, his mother says to him, they have no wine, which would have been a terrible embarrassment, an infringement on, you know, a wedding. To run out of wine would be one of the worst things that could happen to him. And Jesus says, what is that to me? My hour is not come yet. This is not my moment. This is not my day. Hallelujah. And he says, and what do we have here? And it says, and he takes those 6 water pots, and the scripture says, and he turns that water into wine, and then he draws it out and says, now take it to the governor of the feast and give it to the governor of the feast. And they said, the wine that you have given us at the last is way better than what we have already had. Hallelujah. How many know Jesus is on the scene, and the wine that is about to be poured forth now is way better than anything that's been seen up to this point. There is a new wine, hallelujah, at the wedding. And what he does is takes their means of washing themselves, their means of purifying themselves, their means of cleansing themselves, and turns it into a new wine. How many know it's not by water, but it's by the Spirit, says the Lord. Hallelujah. It is his Spirit, his anointing, his wine that makes us clean, that anoints us, that makes us whole. Hallelujah. He takes their means of purification and turns it into something holy, something new. Hallelujah. He had no intention of taking a new wine and put it in an old wineskin. Hallelujah. This was something new and fresh and alive and real. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, I did a demonstration one here one Sunday where I turned water into wine. But how many know if somebody tells to you, if I would say to you, Monty, go take a dip into the sink back there where people been washing your hands and draw out a cup of wine and take it to the governor of the feast and give it to them because I have just created new wine. Would you take the cup and give it to him? Would we have the faith to say, whatever you say, Lord, I'll take it to him. So was it white wine or red wine? Because if you draw it out of the sink and it's still white wine, I might have a little bit of question in my mind as to whether I get to the governor if I'm going to be working tomorrow. Because if this tastes a whole lot like ivory soap, I'm in trouble. But if I draw it out of that sink and it's red wine and it flows and it looks like the blood of Jesus and I draw it out of there and I say, hey, man, this looks like wine, I'm taking it to the governor of the feast because something supernatural has just happened here today. Something I've never seen before. Something I've never experienced. Hallelujah. I mean, I'm going to take that glass of wine to the governor because I can see it with my eyes. But I mean, no, sometimes you got to respond out of what you don't always see. But in the going, you're going to understand as Jesus commands it. If you'll draw it out and take it, you'll understand something divine, something supernatural has just touched your means of purification, your means of being made righteous, your means of being made whole. God has just done something divine and something supernatural in it. Hallelujah. Anybody can take the red wine, but who's willing to take the white that doesn't look like it might be any difference? I don't know what color it was when it came out of there. But I can tell you, I'd be a little more inclined to take the red wine than the white wine. Hallelujah. I mean, how many of us going to draw out bathwater? And really, that's what it was. It's where they washed their hands. It's where they undefiled themselves. It's where they attempted to purify themselves because of what was commanded of them, because of the law and what that dictated to them. Hallelujah. How many know Jesus is on the scene? And what he's doing is something divine and something supernatural. So you can try to wash yourself all you want to. Hallelujah. A bar of soap and a pink bow will not make a pig a poodle. I have that by divine revelation. A bar of soap and a pink bow will not make a pig a poodle. How many know you cannot make yourself clean? You cannot make yourself righteous. Hallelujah. You cannot make yourself good enough to receive what he has for you. But if you'll draw out of what's already been done, hallelujah, you'll find out it is absolutely everything that you need. And everything, can I tell you, that we have now is way better than what's been served at the feast up to this point, because it's something divine. It's something supernatural. It's something that's been touched and created by the hand of God. Hallelujah. So what I want you to understand is when he's sending these people to these places to be washed, he's touching on their Jewish custom. He's not just saying, oh, let me see, Siloam, go to Siloam, that'll work. I mean, no, he's got purpose in what he's doing. He's got purpose in what he's saying. The only thing they find fault in with the man whose eyes are open is, but daggone it, you did it on the Sabbath day. Did you not know today is the Sabbath day? Could you not have waited tomorrow to open the eyes of the blind? Hallelujah. How many know that man experienced the Sabbath on that day like he'd never experienced before? Hallelujah. For the first time, he wasn't carrying the burden of blindness on the Sabbath day. Hallelujah. And so Jesus comes along and he goes to the Pool of Bethesda. Now, the Pool of Bethesda, again, let me tell you, is fed from the Gihon Spring. It originates from the Gihon River that flows from the Garden of Eden. It means gushing forth or bursting forth. It is a gushing water. It is a bursting forth. It is a rapid flowing water, kind of like an artesian well. Can I tell you, in town last night, that was not a stream or a trickle. That was a gushing, bursting forth water. And anything that was in the way of that water was going to move. Amen? The power that is in water can bring energy and electricity to cities. Amen? The power of water. And everything in its path is going to move out our way. When some of the winds that have blown and some of the storms that we've already had, there was a tree that went down on the side of the creek. And it fell across the creek. And I said, oh man, I hate to see that, because that tree was not there before, and that stream was flowing fine, and all of a sudden there's a breach in the water, as so it seems. But every time I've looked in that water, that tree's been moved a little more and a little more and a little more till that stream is opening up, because it has no power against the power of the force of water that comes through there. Amen? Hallelujah. So there's power in the water. There's power in moving living water. Yep. Ezekiel, I guess it is, it talks about going into the temple and seeing the water that flows out from underneath the throne. And he said, and I stepped, he tried to measure the water. He said, I stepped into my ankles. And then he said, I stepped into my knees. And he said, I went a little bit farther and I got into my hips. And then all of a sudden I got into areas that I couldn't try. I just had to tread water anymore. I had no control over where I was standing any longer, but the waters carried me away. There has to be a place where you don't have control of the water that flows in your life, that all of a sudden you can't stop it. You can't control it. All you can do is go with it. You got to just lay back, kick up your feet, and let the water take you where it needs to take you. And let me tell you, where it takes you is going to have life-giving effects on everything in your life. Hallelujah. As long as you still have control over the water of life in your life, you will not go where you need to go until you relinquish the power to the water of God inside of you. Hallelujah. How many know it has to be a well springing up, gushing forth, flowing, living, moving water. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In John chapter 5, let me read a little bit and then we'll talk a little bit more. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. This is probably the Passover feast. The killing of the lamb, the blood on the doorpost, the staff in their hand, the bread, the wine. Hallelujah. The killing of the paschal lamb, the sacrificial lamb. Hallelujah. Now, there is a Jerusalem by the sheep market, a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. And these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time, in that case, he saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, it is the Sabbath day. It's not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. He answered them, he that made me whole, the same said unto me, take up thy bed and walk. Then asked they him, what man is that which said unto thee, take up thy bed and walk. And he that was healed wist not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple and said unto him, behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath. Hallelujah. The scripture says that there was a man laying by the pool of Bethesda. There was a great multitude of impotent folk, blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. Now, I looked up the definition for impotent last night. It said, unable to take an effective action, helpless, powerless, lacking physical strength, vigor, or weak, lacking in power as to act effectively, helpless. Don't anybody in here raise your hand, but anybody ever felt a little bit impotent before? Powerless. Amen. Weak. Over your current situation. It said, unable to take effective action. You ever been in a place where you just don't know what to do? Unable to take effective action. Helpless. Powerless. Lacking physical strength, vigor, or weak. Lacking in power as to act effectively or helpless. How many know there are some things in our life that leave us feeling powerless, leave us feeling weak, leave us feeling inadequate, leave us feeling unable to function in a way that we need to function? You know anybody like that? Yeah. Hallelujah. You ever been there yourself? Amen. Hallelujah. If you're not there yourself, you probably know somebody who is in that state. How many know Jesus walks up to this pool of Bethesda? He sees a great number, the scripture was, of impotent folk laying there waiting on the troubling of the water. Hallelujah. And he says that there an angel goes down at a certain time, troubles the water, and whoever's first in the water was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. Now, I've talked to you before about this in different ways, but how many know if I got this figured out? Now, this ain't my first time laying by this pool of Bethesda. The scripture says he's been in this way for 38 years. How many know that's a long time? That's almost as old as I am. Thanks for that laugh right there. Plus a few years. Amen. How many know he's been there a long time? And the scripture says, whoever's first to get in the water when it troubles gets healed of whatever disease he has. Now, it don't take me real long. I wasn't the sharpest crayon in the box, but it doesn't take me real long to figure out if that's the plan. That whoever brought me to the water yesterday or the last time and put me in my spot, because I mean, no, this man couldn't function on his own. So I got a plan here. Whoever brought me last time, wherever you put me, it didn't work. So what I want you to do next time is lay me on the edge, because when the water starts to move, I'm getting in. If I got to roll, tumble, cartwheel, somersault, or elbow my way down to the water, I'm heading for the water, because whoever gets in the water is going to be made completely whole of their disease. Hallelujah. How many know sometimes you got to figure this out a little bit? If what you've been doing is not working, change it. The definition of an insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. 38 years is a long time to be laying there waiting to be the first one in the pool. So we got to figure out another strategy here. You got to get me closer to the water, because evidently the healing is in the water. Amen. Hallelujah. If we could ever get folk to realize that the closer you get to the water, the more connected you get to the water, the more healing that comes, the better you can function, the less powerless you are, the less weak you are, the less inability you have, because all of a sudden the water has healing powers in your life and can make you every whit whole. I mean, no, physical ailments are not the only things we need healing from. We need healing mind, soul, body, and spirit. Hallelujah. And so here he lays at the troubling of the water. Now he says he was been there 38 years. And I found something out with that number. That number has always puzzled me, 38. Jesus is very specific to say he was there 38 years. When I looked up the history of the scripture, says that the ark rested in this very spot at the pool of Bethesda for 38 years. 27 years under the reign of David and 11 years under the reign of Solomon. How many know the ark rested there in that spot for 38 years? If you ever understand where the mercy seat's at. If you ever understand what's been accomplished at the mercy seat. If you ever understand it's the blood sprinkling of a lamb. It is your heavenly propitiation. The scripture says that he is our propitiation. He is our mercy seat. How many know the greatest mercy seat of all time is standing this day on the pool of Bethesda, about to stir water like it's never been stirred. This man's about to encounter a well springing up. Jesus stands up on the at the feast, the great day of the feast, and said, if any man is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. For out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. Hallelujah. How many know the heavenly propitiation, the Ark of the Covenant from the city of David, the very descendant of David, is standing at the pool of Bethesda. And when he knows that the Ark has been in that place, how many know if we ever identify with what that Ark is to us? How many are glad for the mercy seat today? He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. How many know those covering of those feathers is a place that is underneath the cherubims that stood on the mercy seat? And if we can ever come into that secret place where he's got the wings of the cherubim wrapped around us on a mercy seat, hallelujah, we'll find out that there's life in him. We'll find out that there's wholeness in him. Hallelujah. I don't think it's by chance that he was been in that way for 38 years and the Ark of the Covenant had sat there for 38 years. How many know everything Jesus is doing is painting pictures? He's painting pictures to get them back on track of where they have lost track. How many know the whole house of Israel looks like this pool of Bethesda? Lame, halt, maimed people waiting on something, waiting on a stirring of the water, wanting to be the first one to get in. Hallelujah. And Jesus steps up to the shore and he just says to him, wilt thou be made whole? Hallelujah. And he doesn't say yes. I mean, my answer is what? Yeah. I mean, 38 years I've been waiting to be first. Yes. I want to be made whole. He says, well, you see, what's happening is every time the water gets stirred, whoever goes down to the water first gets it, and I just never seem to get there. See, sometimes we just need a yes or no answer. Do you want it or not? Amen. If you want it, get up off of your bed. Get up out of the place where you are. Make a step in the right direction. And see, here's what happens. Jesus gets himself in trouble because he says to him, rise. If he'd have just stopped right there, he might have been okay. But he says to him, take up your bed and walk. Man, if he'd have just left his bed lay there. But see, if you picked up a burden on the Sabbath day, an undue burden, you could be sentenced to death for carrying a burden on the Sabbath day, for carrying a bed. So why does Jesus say to him, take up your bed and walk? What I think he's saying to him, Hannah, is you're not going back there. Do not go back to the place where you once laid. Rise, stand up, take up that bed, and move on out of this place that you're in of powerlessness, of inability, of this place that has held you impotent in this place for 38 years. You get up. Do you want to be made whole? If you do, rise up, walk out of this place, and take that bed with you. Do not return to where you once were and keep on walking. Hallelujah. Yep. I mean, sometimes you got to put one foot in front of the other and move in a direction where your deliverance comes, because you respond to a word that says, it's not about me. It's not about somebody else. It's about responding to the voice of my healer today and getting up out of this place that I'm in and being made whole, mind, soul, body, and spirit. Hallelujah. Don't go back to that place of powerlessness, of inability, of weakness. Hallelujah. Trust him who makes the command and says, I will walk out of this place. I don't know where I'm going, may not know where I'm heading, but if anybody asks me, I'm just going to say, the man who made me whole told me to roll up my bed and walk. Hallelujah. He says to them, he finds him later, he said, go and sin no more, lest the worst thing come unto you. What he's saying to him, don't go back to what you used to know. Amen. Hallelujah. I mean, you got to find some fresh new territory. You got to understand the mercy seat that's before you that's been blood sprinkled. You got to understand that mikvah you've been laying beside of that you thought would cleanse you. There is one greater than that standing before you who's able to wash you and make you every whit whole. Hallelujah. There's something supernatural here. Get up, stand up, walk in it, roll up your bed, and don't return to the place where you once were. Hallelujah. How many can raise your hand in here today and say, I do not want to go back to what used to be back there. I do not want to go back to yesterday. I want to move ahead to what God has in store for me today. I want to find new territory. I want to know what it's like to walk on my own. I want to know what it's like not to be dependent on somebody to carry me there. I want to know what it's like to stand complete and whole in him and to receive that healing. Hallelujah. There is a place in him. Hallelujah.
I think in that scripture it was important when he said, wilt thou be made whole? What he was doing is dealing with the man's will. You know, sometimes we just got to want what God has for us.
We got to want it bad enough that we're willing to walk out of everything else and say, whatever he tells me, that's what I'm going to do. And, you know, we have to, our will has to change. Sometimes it's, like you said, started making excuses for why he hadn't gotten into that water. And how guilty are we sometimes? Well, you know, I've tried, or well, I've prayed, or well, I've done this, or well, I've done that. Nothing just seems to work for me, you know. Do we really want to be made whole enough to trust the man that says, take up your bed and walk?
Yeah. How many
know? I had a woman come to me in Baton Rouge, Louisiana last year. The Lord was kind of moving. I said, I had a woman come to me in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, when I was there. And the Lord had moved, you know, several of the meetings. And she came to me before the service and she said, if the Lord gives you something for me tonight, I really don't want to get healed. She said, I don't want to lose my government check. And she just told me before the service, she said, I don't want to get healed because I don't want to lose my check. She was serious she could be. I thought, that's the first I've ever heard anything like that. But I guess she was afraid she was going to get healed and lose her check. So, you know, sometimes people get so used to their sickness and their disease, they don't want help, you know.
Sometimes you got to question your motives. Sometimes you got to question, hallelujah, your thought.
And I think it's interesting that up until that point, if you wanted healing, you had to scrape and claw and desperation, roll in the thing, you know, you just pick and shove and push someone else out of the way to get to it. And it was next to a sheep market. So if you can't do it in those means, buy it. You know, find a way to do it yourself, do it yourself, do it yourself. And I think sometimes, instead of trying to claw and shove and get your way in desperation to the water, you can realize that the water has come to you. You know, at that point, that's when the shift changed. So now we don't have to do that anymore. We don't have to scrape and claw to get to the water. The water comes to you. So instead of doing it in your own power and in your own might, and what can I do, what can I do, what can I do? Because there's been situations in my life where I've said, God, I have done everything I know to do, and this is not working. I can't get it to work. I've done this, and I've tried this, and I've tried this. And God is saying to me, Aaron, I didn't tell you to do it. I never told you to do that. Why are you wearing yourself out? I'll just do it for you.
Yes.
You know, so instead of just, you know, in desperation clawing to get to what you need, realize that you don't have to do that anymore. There has been a shift. You can't buy it. You can't struggle to get it. You can't pull your way in. He'll just give it to you. So just back off. You know, I noticed in the, and not to take the mic and take over here, but a couple weeks ago, you were talking about the woman with the vessel, and she was filling the vessel, and the prophet came to her, and she had a little bit of oil and a little bit of meal, and he said, "What do you have left?" And she said, "I'm going to take this little bit of oil, and I'm going to take this little bit of meal, and I'm going to make a cake, and I'm going to feed my babies, and then we're going to die." And up until that point, she had found a way, day by day by day, on her own merit and on her own work. And I'm going to take this little bit, I'm going to take this little bit, and I'm going to do what I know to do, and I'm going to feed my babies, and that will get me through today. And you don't have to live day by day by day scraping together what you can do on your own. You can have an eternity that will last you and a supply that won't run out if you just stop working and try to do it yourself and let Him do it. Let Him pour out of you. You don't have to scrape and claw to the water. You don't have to take the little bit that you have and just feed your babies, and that'll be enough for you and your family for today. He will give you an abundance. So you don't have to do it yourself. Just let Him do it.
You just have to understand that He's the source. Amen. Preach good, girl. Hallelujah. You understand that He is the source. In John chapter 4, Jesus comes to the woman at the well. And, you know, the scripture, in understanding this portion of scripture, how many of this woman is in desperation when she comes? Number one, she's a Samaritan. She's got a strike against her. The scripture says she's had five husbands. The one she's with right now is not her husband. How many know things have not been working for her real well up to this point? Hallelujah. And she's coming to the well that she draws from every day. And every day she has to come back and draw again. It's not a well that sustains her. It's one that continually runs out and leaves her thirsty, leaves her empty, leaves her without. Hallelujah. And the scripture says she comes to this well on this day, and all of a sudden she finds there's a man sitting on the well, which that would have been uncommon because the women came and carried the water from the well back to the house. And the fact that he spoke to her was also uncommon. And the fact that he was a Jew and spoke to her was just a day out of the ordinary. Amen? How many are ready for a day out of the ordinary? Out of the same old thing that we continually try to do in ourselves and continually try to make it work, and it leaves us empty and unfulfilled and desperate for something. Hallelujah. And Jesus said to her, to give me a drink. And he says to her, if you would ask me for a drink, go ahead, just ask me. Just ask me for a drink. Because if you would ask me for a drink, I would give you a drink of water that you would never thirst again. And she said, sir, this is a very deep well, and you have nothing to draw with. How many know Jacob's well is a very deep well? Jacob's well of tradition. Jacob's well of deception, conniver, deceiving. Hallelujah. That well will always leave you thirsty. It will always leave you empty. And it is a very deep well. How can you give me something out of this well that'll make me thirsty, that'll never make me thirsty again? He said, I'm not talking about Jacob's well. I have no intention of ever drawing out of Jacob's well. As a matter of fact, the well I'm talking about is sitting on your well. It is a life springing up. If any man is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He said, if you ask me for a drink, I will make you never thirst again. He said, but I'll make you a well. Hallelujah. I'll make it a river of life inside of you, a well springing up out of you. I don't want to just give you a drink. I want to make you a water source. I want to make you a well. I want to make you a source of life that'll flow out. He said, I want to stir something up inside of you so that when you go back to the village, you're going to go back there with a message saying, you got to come and see this man that I just met on the well. He told me all things that ever I did. This man must be a prophet. This is not like a man that I've ever met before, but he's caused something to stir up inside of me. Hallelujah. He has caused me to be well. How many know she went back and evangelized her community and brought all that she knew back to see this man? She said, you got to come and see this man. Hallelujah. And she had some questions for him. She said, your fathers say you got to worship in that mountain. And our fathers say you got to worship in that mountain. You got to do it the way that denomination does it. Or you got to do it the way that denomination does it. And you got to stand up, sit down, roll over, do whatever it is. Whatever it is. And I'm so confused, I don't even know how to worship. Jesus said, welcome to church. Amen. Hallelujah. He said, I'm telling you, it's not about that mountain or how you do it. He said, but those who are going to worship me are going to worship me in spirit and in truth. And if you ever get spirit and truth to mix together, I'm going to tell you, revival will break out in your community. Revival will break out in your home. Revival, not just to revive something old, but to cause something new to come alive. I'm not talking about reviving something we once had. I'm talking about something, a revolution. I'll just call it a revolutionary breakout in your community, in your home. And how many know he even dealt in the realms in relationship with her? He said, I'm going to cause this to be a life-giving force that you're not looking for something external to fill the void in your life anymore, because it's going to be something internal inside of you that is so life-giving that you're not looking everywhere else for satisfaction. But him that worships me must worship me in spirit and in truth. Hallelujah. If you understand that Jesus is truth, and if you understand his spirit, the combination of those will revolutionize a community, will revolutionize a nation. Hallelujah. Will revolutionize church as we know it. Hallelujah. How many know it must be about worship in spirit and in truth, not by our mindsets, not by our boundaries of denominations and things like that. It must be a matter of the heart. It must be an internal well springing forth. It must be a life-giving source inside of us. Hallelujah. It must be that life source that flows from the very throne of God. Hallelujah. The ark rested at the place of the before Bethesda for 38 years. Kings and priests were anointed at the pool of Bethesda. Hallelujah. How many know God wants to raise up a generation of kings and priests? Yeah. Hallelujah. Kings and priests unto him. It was the place where sacrifices were washed and blood flowed to it and from it. Hallelujah. How many know the cleansing of his blood is what makes us whole? It is the blood of Jesus. It's also where the remnants of the sacrifice were carried away. Hallelujah. How many know it is a place where the blood of the Lamb, we understand that the blood of the Lamb has already been shed for my sins. Amen? And that his blood was enough to cover me. His blood was enough to make. How many know what they did was a continuation of over and over and over. Every year the Paschal Lamb had to be sacrificed. Daily they had to be sacrificed. The washings had to be done daily. They had to be done every Sabbath. They had to be done every tradition, every festival, every feast, everything that happened, it was continual washing, washing, washing. How many know we've been washed by the blood of the Lamb? We've been washed by the water of the Word. We are complete and stand whole in him. We didn't have to come in here today and wash to be made righteous or to be made clean or to be made whole before we could enter in. We could enter in by the blood of the Lamb of God, the sacrificial Lamb that was sprinkled on the mercy seat, the blood of Jesus Christ, the water that flowed and blood, that water that flowed from his side has made us every whit whole. Hallelujah. How many know their cleansings were habitual over and over and over? Ours was done once and for all at the cross of Calvary. Hallelujah. His blood, his propitiation for us, the sacrifice of his blood for our sins. Hallelujah. He tells the man, and he says to them, who told you to carry your bed on the Sabbath day? The greatest infraction it seemed that Jesus ever did was to break their Sabbath. And yet one greater than the Sabbath was there. One greater than the Sabbath was before them. The place of rest that every one of us are looking for is not a person, is not a place. It is a person. Hallelujah. We're not looking for one day of the week to have rest or one day of the week to be relieved from our bondage. See, the Sabbath was set up in memorial of the understanding that they were slaves in Egypt and came out of slavery, and that's why they were given a Sabbath, to understand that and to give their slaves a Sabbath, to give their servants and their bondsmen and things like that, to give them a day off. Hallelujah. And we sometimes make the day more important than the God we're supposed to be worshiping. Amen? Hallelujah. It wasn't so much about the day as it was about a place that we come into Christ. The scripture says, labor therefore to enter into that rest. Hallelujah. We're celebrating Labor Day tomorrow. Amen? Yeah. And we all get a day of rest on a Labor Day. Hallelujah. That's pretty cool, isn't it? How many know we got to he said, if you're going to labor over anything, labor to enter into my rest, my place of rest. Because he said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Hallelujah. If we could ever come to the place where we quit carrying the heavy burdens, when we quit trying to do, as Aaron was saying, and digging and pawing and scratching our way to get something to work for us. How many know this woman at the well had tried and tried and tried? Amen? You don't have to raise your hand, but have you ever been a place where you've tried and tried and said, Lord, I'm weak over these. I'm powerless over these things. I need you. Hallelujah. How many know everyone in this house this morning needs a Savior? Everyone in under the sound of my voice needs help. Everyone in here needs strength. Everyone in here needs the ability to pick up that bedroll and walk out of the place where we're in sometime and say, God, I'm just going to put one step at foot. I'm going to step one foot in front of the other, and I'm going to trust you to carry me. I'm going to trust you to make me every whit whole. I'm going to trust you to give me rest on a Sabbath day. Hallelujah. It is only through him that we can receive that Sabbath. But no longer do we have to roll into a superficial external water. But we can understand that that water has come to us. That water is within us. It is a well springing up. It is an artesian well. It is a constantly moving water. How many know whatever is in the path of that water is going to have to move? Whatever was in the path of that water when it began to flow last night had to move out of its way by the force of the power of the water that was in it. How many know there was a whole lot of things that got washed in Berkeley Springs last night? Hallelujah. There was a whole lot of things that got moved, a whole lot of moving, shaking, and readjusting to some things. Amen? Hallelujah. The power of God in our life causes things to move, causes a moving, a shaking, hallelujah, in our life. And it is a life-giving force. It is an eternal, it is that that river that flows out of us. Let me just turn to one more scripture here this morning, and then we'll go. Thank you. Hallelujah. Revelations 22 and verse 1. And it says, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. I mean, know where's the river flowing from? Out of the throne of God. It's a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. If we ever come to the place where the river is pure and crystal clear, amen, that flows from the throne of God, hallelujah, that flows from a slain lamb. It says, and in the midst of the street of it and on either side of the river was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. It flows from the pure river, flows from the throne of God, from a slain lamb, and from the tree of life. Hallelujah. I told you from the beginning that the Gihon River that flows to the Gihon Spring, that flows to the pool of Bethesda, flows from the tree of life. How many know in the book of Revelation, that's the river he's talking about, the river of life. Hallelujah. It's not talking about something external way off in the yonder by and by. He's talking about right here, right now. How many know there is a river whose streams make glad the city of our God? There is a river that flows, that gives us life, that flows from the throne of God, that flows from the temple, that flows from a slain lamb, that flows from the tree of life. Hallelujah. And wherever that river flows, it's going to bring life. Hallelujah. How many know when we leave here today, out of this temple, out of the throne of God, there will flow rivers that will go out into our community, out into our homes, out into every place that we go. And wherever they flow, they have the ability to bring life. Amen. Do you believe that? Because it flows from a tree of life. It flows from the cross of Calvary. It flows from a slain lamb. And it is a pure river, and it is crystal clear. No mixture, no controversy, just the clear gospel. Christ and him crucified. Hallelujah. He is our life. He is our water springing up, a well inside of it. And out of your bellies shall flow rivers of living water. Hallelujah. Are you ready for those living waters? Yes. Are you ready to see the life flow? Yes. Hallelujah. Are you ready to get up out of that place of impotency, of powerlessness or inabilities or weakness? Are you ready to get up out of that place and say, I'm ready to pack up my bedroll, and I'm moving on out of this place. Hallelujah. I'm believing for my wholeness, my healing. Hallelujah. And it is in Christ. And Christ in me. Hallelujah. As Aaron said earlier, that water is in me. Hallelujah. You didn't have to get in the water. The water got in him. Hallelujah. That's good news this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. That's a good thing. The water of life inside of us. There's power in water. Amen? There's power in the blood. Yes. Hallelujah. Amen. God bless you. Graham, you want to come sing?